Hello, and welcome to yet another Big Think Mailbag, where we answer the questions you send in, or at least some of them. Bob will not be joining us tonight, but I'm your host, Dan Video Games, and with me, as always, our co-host KZ Excellent from KZ.com.
I couldn't get that domain.
Yeah, probably not. That probably costs a lot.
KZExcellent.com, $12 a year.
And Mr. Feel from Mr.com.
I don't have a domain.
Oh, I feel like Mr.com probably, one, involves pornography, and two, is very expensive to register. But who knows? That question wasn't sent in, so we probably shouldn't answer it. We have quite a few questions here, so I guess we should get to it. The first question is from the Ortsov Prince. Dear cosmic-sized brain gamers, what is the littlest it's ever taken to get you interested in a game that turned out to be amazing? I got into God Eater series because I saw that it had a great character creator, and that led to some of my favorite games I've ever played. And I was wondering what experiences you guys had getting into new game series.
I can start.
I feel like the number one case for me was that Zone of the Enders 1 came with a demo disc for Metal Gear Solid 2. you know? And Zone of the Enders 2 for a long time was one of my favorite games ever. Like, if people ask me what like my favorite game was, I would say that or Shadow of the Colossus, because they were really great games. Zone of the Enders 2, not great on replay because of a couple segments that really fucking drag. But a great game series that I maybe wouldn't have checked out without that demo disc. I'm unsure. Mr. Feel, you said you had one?
Yeah, a big part of the reason I originally got into Final Fantasy 14 is because I saw the cutscene where Prince Mogglemog is killed and saw that the quest where you go to the dungeon and beat him is called You Have Now Selected Regicide.
God.
And that was enough to get me interested.
Okay. Okay. KZ, do you have any game series you got into?
When it comes to, like, small things that got me interested in things, like, obviously I got into a lot of games through commercials and small ads when I was younger. Like, I remember the magazine ad for Kirby 64 is, like, this diagram of the various parts of Kirby's body, and it was a really funny magazine ad, and that was the only, I had never heard of the series until that point. I'm trying to, I've actually found the image of it to at least give you a visual aid. The Face of Terror.
Yeah,
and it's like, it's got the cold-blooded stare, the evil grin. He's highly flammable.
Oh, this did remind me of another one.
Blubber Hides Massive Arsenal. And I was like, this game seems alright. I should pick
game
this
seems
up.
Raw.
Yeah.
And it was. Miracle Matter is quite raw. Yeah, that comes to mind. And a lot of stuff recently is just, oh, this trailer for this thing is neat. I remember getting into the Yakuza games just because I saw a lot of other people get really excited when they said they were going to localize them. And I was like, oh, they must be really good given how passionate people are. And that man in a hockey jersey just started announcing them while holding a Vita.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else that really... Because usually what gets me into these things is something core about the appeal. Also, I generally, when I got into stuff back in the day, it was because it was covered in a magazine somewhat well. So, you know, if I got into a thing back then, like, say, Smash Brothers, it was because I got to see the strategy guide that Expert Gamer put together in their magazine for that. I bought that game, or my brother did. I can't remember. Thought it was going to be 3D gameplay. Because that was not something they explicitly stated in Expert Gamer, that it was a 2D gameplay sort of game. So I kept seeing these cool camera angles they had for the pause screen, thinking it would have depth because they angled the camera to make the shots for the magazine look really good. And then when I got the game, I'm like, this isn't 3D. It's really good, but this isn't 3D. I'm kind of disappointed. But yeah, I can't think of anything else that comes to mind per se. Hmm.
I have a couple.
Yeah, go ahead.
The first game I ever wanted before walking into a grocery, and not grocery store, but first game I ever wanted before walking into a store, because back before the internet, that you picked games based on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have anything else unless you were really lucky and your parents got you a subscription to a magazine. But I saw the Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars commercial on TV.
Ah.
Went, I want that right there, and got that. When I was a little bit older, a couple of years older, GamePro did a review for The Legend of Dragoon.
Oh.
And I got it because they called it the Final Fantasy killer, because my first PlayStation 1 game was Final Fantasy VII. And then I was like, oh, this isn't as good as Final Fantasy VII. It was still okay. I've never beaten it. I've tried like 7 times. I keep getting to the Lost City Zenobados and giving up.
Mm.
Excuse you?
There is a dungeon in Legend of Dragoon called the Lost City Zenobatos, which is an ancient city, ancient dead city, where they do things like law. You can't use magic in fights. And you have to go to different terminals and turn the laws on and off to be able to progress through the area. And I'm like, well, I'm done. I've had enough. But those are the big two.
I think something worth noting is that back in the day when the PS1, you know, the N64 and for, I don't know, 2% of Americans, the Sega Saturn were new, being 3D was the ultimate gimmick. Like, it was unprecedented. This shit was just mind-blowing. So literally, you go to a rental store, every game is worth checking out because you have no idea how that'll play. So there are countless games that I tried just because it was like, oh man, 3D's new. This is crazy. This could be a really great game. And early days for the PS1, it was maybe a little rough to find content. So one of the weirdest games I got into just because of that hype of 3D games are new, et cetera, et cetera, was probably Poi Poi and Tecmo's Deception. Tecmo's Deception, I ultimately came to love. Like, I own every game in that series. Actually, there's one I still haven't bought. But for those who don't know, Tecmo's Deception is a series where you basically serve Satan and kill everyone who comes into your unholy mansion with visceral traps, some of which are goofy.
Sometimes it's anime characters.
Yeah, sometimes it's anime. When it first started, it was barely, like, had a style, like, visually. It was more of like, hey, we got 3D working. Also, this game's first person because we only got 3D working barely. But yeah, no, that'd be it. I'm not gonna say I got into it, but I did rent it twice. Quest 64, on the sheer gimmick of, man, the N64 doesn't fucking have RPGs. So it was like, this is the one. I have to play it. Yeah. Quest 64 sure is a game.
See, ever since you played it on stream, I keep wanting to find a way to play it and play it again, because I'm like, that seems good. Seems raw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put them in Smash.
You got anything else, Casey?
No, I just had that.
Okay.
Just had that one. I can't really think of many other times where it's like, man, I need this, aside from friends saying, hey, Smash Bros. Melee is really cool, and then I got that with my GameCube, but
I mean,
nothing else really comes to mind, besides from general advertisements on TV.
Right, right. I got huge into Tenchu just because of the level creator in Tenchu 2. I feel like more of those games should have done that. Let's see. Next question's from Professor Bad Vibes. Dear Gigamen, if you could own any arcade cabinet or pinball machine, what would it be? Assume you already have the sufficient space to keep it. Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. But Bob isn't here tonight, but that would almost definitely be his answer too. That game's incredible. I would love to have an arcade quality version of it. Like, literally, the arcade would be great. But last time I checked, $900. So,
oof.
Yeah, no thank you. The other stuff I'd be interested in would be Neo Geo stuff, but turns out somebody just finished finalizing their FPGA core for the Mr. console that emulates the Neo Geo. So once I get that built, I'm going to check that out. And who knows, maybe that'll save us from having to buy some Neo Geo hardware. Hopefully it's good enough. Mr. Field, do you have an answer for this question?
Yes, I would want a Neo Geo MVS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The games I would probably put Garo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last Blade 2.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Last Blade's Capcom, isn't it? Or is that SNK?
No, Last Blade.
I always get mixed up which one is the X and K.
Last
Blade 2. Yeah. To have a weapon fighter.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Samurai Showdowns, I'm not sure which one. Bust a Move and Metal Slug 3, probably.
Yeah, Metal Slug 3 is really good.
It would definitely be Garo, Garo or 98, a Last Blade 2, one Sam Show, Bust a Move, and a Metal Slug.
Yeah, I think we would do a King of Fighters near 2000, like whether it's 99 or 2001 or whatever. Like somewhere in that range. Metal Slug 3, yeah, probably. That's what I would go with most likely.
What did you say that they're building a Neo Geo core for, by the way?
So the Mister is a open source FPGA console design. You build it yourself, you just order the components. So it's like one of these analog emulation consoles, but it's owned by the community. So somebody finished their FPGA Neo Geo core. I haven't had a chance to check it out because I haven't had time to build the Mr. console yet, but I do intend to check that out. KZ, do you have any arcade you would want to own or a pinball machine?
Now I'm between two, because, you know, you tend to get a couple of like arcade style games in your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at first thinking of the original Killer Instinct, because I had the SNES game. That was one of the two games we owned at first.
Yeah.
So my childhood, starting with video games, because I don't have any memory of the Atari, but we did own one.
Yeah.
So the two games were Killer Instinct and its really cool black cartridge, and Toy Story.
Oh my god.
The SNES. Don't feel bad for me. Feel bad for my parents. Like, hey, can you help me on this game? Because that was what the childhood was like.
Yeah.
And then, that was a nightmare. First, I was thinking of Killer Instinct, because I think the first one at least really rules.
Oh, yeah, no, the first one's a really good game. Anytime Bob even slightly besmirches its name, I point out that it's one of the only good fighting games that generation, because fighting games were really rough on the Super NES and Genesis.
Oh, yeah, like the SNES port was really great.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have as much of a visual flair to it, but I just really like it. Nice soundtrack.
Yeah.
But I was like, what if I pick like a specialty arcade thing? Because I wasn't thinking of a machine that has multiple games.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is the other arcade game that I owned that I played a decent bit on the SNES? Revolution X.
Really?
The Aerosmith rail shooting game.
Yeah.
That was one that the parents wanted to play. And I was like, you know, this ain't too bad. SNES version, terrible by comparison as a port.
I'm sure.
It had a lot less levels. The animations weren't up to snuff. A lot of sequences were just straight stripped out.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see, I think it's the PlayStation and Saturn version, there's just entire enemies and other stuff. And also, it took years and years to see the true ending of that game. True ending, of course, being you have to find every member of Aerosmith, and they're like hiding in the levels. And since it's an on rails thing, there are very specific choices you have to make and very small time windows to shoot the correct thing. Like, you need to shoot this bathroom sign to go into the bathroom and blow up this stall to find one of them. And then you get their logo. And if you collect all of them, you get to go backstage.
Oh my.
And you get to blow up stuff and get more points. That, of course, was a very hilarious game in which a random dominatrix takes over the world and her name is Helga.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're going to get rid of rock music. You're not allowed to listen to it anymore. This was after they, after Public Enemy turned them down and then Aerosmith said, yeah, you can make the video game about us.
Every time I saw that arcade in, you know, arcade cabinet at the arcades, I just kind of rolled my eyes at it. I thought it was really bizarre, but I had no interest in playing it.
It's like, you go through it, and after you beat level 2, that's like a helicopter, you go inside, I think it's, you go inside their Lamborghini, and like a video appears, they're like, you're welcome to the resistance. And you go into it, and you start going into a jungle, and then a pyramid, and you have to take down prison buses.
Okay, that's weird. That's real weird.
I'm gonna force you to play it in some way at some point, because it's something.
Nope, and last note,
I think it's on PlayStation. You're doomed.
I actually remembered a couple others because I went with the obvious, like, I'd like to play these, the best versions of these games, but I forgot things that you can't replicate outside of an arcade.
Right.
So I'd also have to give serious consideration to Time Crisis 2.
Oh, yeah.
Or Fighting Mania, the Fist of the North Star arcade game where you punch pads that pop out.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I think I played that.
Oh,
I think
really?
I played that at a local arcade.
Wow, I've never even seen it.
I played it at a mall.
I remember there being like pads on the bottom there's, left,
there's
right,
a row
top
of three,
right.
Yeah, there's like not yeah. There's like eight pads in like a surrounding the screen, and they flip out, and you have gauntlets attached to the machine that you punch them with.
Huh. Yeah, they stopped using it because someone broke it.
Yeah, I imagine. That thing seems super breakable.
You get someone strong enough and angry enough.
Yeah. On the tangent of super breakable arcades that would be fantastic to own until they broke, Area 51 and Prop Cycle, because I haven't played Prop Cycle.
I would have picked
Cycle.
Area 51.
I haven't.
I would have absolutely picked that one.
Oh, yeah, no. Area 51's great. I love that.
Played that at my local laundromat for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah, same. Airport.
That and the junkyard pinball machine.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I knew more about pinball machines, so my answer is going to be dumb. Zen Pinball, the company that made it, actually made a giant, like, fake pinball machine to play their virtual tables on, where it's a giant screen.
It just has a bunch of screens on it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just got a giant screen for the table area, and it shows a really crisp version of the table, and then it has a top display to display your info you need. So it's really
pinball
fucking badass.
Pinball OLED.
Yeah, no, pinball OLED. But yeah, Prop Cycle, no one ever talks about. It's a game where you pilot a gyrocopter that is pedaled, and you need to fly through these rings in a timed manner. Really cool game. I wish we had more games about flight, because I feel like since Pilot Wings 64 and I guess Pilot Wings Resort, we haven't really had games that do that per se, where it's physics management and exploration via flight, whether that's a hang glider or a gyrocopter or a rocket belt. So I would like to own that for the, I don't know, 3 months that it works. The next question is from Anonymous DS. People have recently been saying that AAA games need a price increase above the normal $60 threshold, and that we will see that next generation. Along with that, major publishers have opined that the reason they have all the microtransactions and loot boxes and season pass nonsense is because they need it, as games cost so much to make. My question is, if next-gen games increase from $60 to $70 or even $80, what's to stop publishers from still having microtransactions and loot box and season pass nonsense? I've seen too many people suggest that price increase would solve our industry's harmful monetization practice issues, but I don't buy it. What do you guys think? I'll let someone else take the floor first.
Have you ever had somebody be like, have somebody stab you a couple times and then go, for $20, I'll stop stabbing you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's the same level of trust. I also really think a lot of these publishers think they want games to be $80, but they won't like where that ends.
I think that what happens is people are hearing this a lot from, you know, when games media talks about this, they'll take like some statements from like a game publisher or something, or they say
take
that
a game statement from Rami Ismail, and he'll say something fucking dumb.
They'll take a statement from, say, like, they'll go like, games are really hard to make. Like, a game publisher will say that, like, the budgets end up ballooning, and they say, well, this will solve this. And I feel like that's the only place you hear it. Like, I don't feel like the average person is going, man, I really want, or, man, they're just going to increase the price of this stuff next gen, and that'll solve the problem. They're kind of just taking the face value of that. Yeah, that'll solve the problem. And I feel like the people mentioning that are the people that are in games media who get everything for free anyway.
Yeah.
And kind of like lose a grasp on what that means.
Uh-huh.
It's like occasionally, you know, when I listen to various games media podcasts, I remember one specific moment. This is during, I think, Battlefront 1, the first Star Wars Battlefront that they did badly from EA. And it was about the $50 season pass. And they were talking about it again because the game had been out for a few months. And one of the people there just said, well, you know, why are people complaining about it? What, you know, when they offer you enough entertainment, maybe you should give a little bit more back. You're being a little greedy there.
I'm okay with the notion of a $50 season pass. Like, you can offer enough content to justify that. I don't think it's easy, and I definitely
it was
have
about
no
Star Wars Battlefront right. 1, which is why people were mad in the first place. But
exactly,
you know.
Like there was no way that delivered on that. I'm okay with
that's
games.
Like giving you that's like yeah. giving you a car missing an engine and three wheels.
Yeah,
I bought the three wheels and an engine pack, $50.
I did. I bought Battlefront 2.
I feel like $80 price point won't really work out for the industry so well, because I think the lost sales from it being $20 more would kill them. I don't know how much
it would
$10
so
would
many.
Kill them, but $20
I'm
would
thinking
absolutely
about every,
murder
every,
it.
Everybody in Canada going, new games are $100, fuck this.
Yeah.
It'd be more, it'd be like $120.
I mean, I honestly probably wouldn't pick up any Arxis game at launch ever, because I would have no confidence that this was the version they were going to stick with. And at $80, they can absolutely eat a dick.
You know what the biggest sign that your industry is fucked and about to die is?
Hmm.
When you start squeezing the exact a stagnant consumer base for more money.
I mean, this is the best-selling generation there's ever been, so I wouldn't say games are stagnant. But you know, if you're gonna do this, if you're gonna riddle all your games with microtransactions and then raise the price of games, those are two different directions you're trying to take things. Like, obviously, things like games as a service, free to play games, those can make shitloads of money off of the game being free and the microtransactions being there. And $60 games, you know, you can make a lot of money off of a bunch of people jumping in. At that price relative to, you know, it's obviously going to be less than free.
Ideally, they figure out which one they want to be, which mm-hmm. is a premium game that has a price.
And
you
is
get
a whole.
In there and you try to charge people as little as possible because they paid that money up front.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's free and you put things out the ass for money there and people are going to be more open to it because it's like, I came at this with no investment besides my own time.
Right. Like, either be a premium experience that's finished for money or be a thing that's constantly being worked on for free. Like, this isn't that hard to figure out. Moving on. Anonymous CB, in parentheses, not T. I would like to know, I didn't write these notes.
How you feel?
What video game do you guys think of that is super successful, sold millions of copies, but has barely made an impact or influence on the video game industry? Basically, which video game do you think is the avatar of video games? Okay, two things. One, that doesn't exist. Two,
it does.
Avatar massively influenced the theater. 3D movies came back because of Avatar. It literally had the most impact on the movie industry up until the MCU really took off. Like,
That it's just really boring and nothing. But it
right.
was
they mean they don't mean industry. They mean popular culture, which
barely,
Avatar made no impact
barely
on
barely made an impact or influence on the industry is what is written here.
I know, but I understand what they actually mean because I've seen the intent posted multiple times in other
Then let's change the subject to that one that makes more sense.
Yes, because anything like, that sells millions of copies will have an influence on the industry. Look at all the MOBAs. Look at all the Battle Royales. That's just a thing.
Anytime Battle Royale is mentioned, I think of the Battlefield. We're working on Royale.
Did that ever fucking come out?
Yeah. It did.
I think it did, and it was bad.
Yeah, no one cared.
I listened to like games media types do a podcast, and they went, I think they're that Battle Royale. Did that even come out? Like, it's our job to cover this shit, and we don't know. It was...
Like, maybe I'm crazy, but I could have sworn that came out in April or May.
Coming out with a thud.
Yeah. So,
but it was
Feel,
in a forest,
you
so
wanna,
no one could hear it.
Feel, you want to answer a question that wasn't written in that you believe was. Go ahead.
Sure, because I know that this is what they meant because I've said this exact thing, just phrased correctly. Horizon Zero Dawn is the biggest one, where that game sold like 12 million copies, and I've never seen a human being discuss it. Ever?
Alloy Raw?
I've never seen a single person bring it up. I didn't know until like summer of this year that it has almost the exact same plot as Nier Automata.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned you didn't know that. I know of people who bought it. I just haven't played it because it's a big game. That's me and most big games.
Yeah, I kind of had my fill by the end.
I don't know if this counts, but the way PUBG has evaporated is funny.
What do you mean evaporated?
Like, it's been completely supplanted in public consciousness by Fortnite.
Oh, that's true. But
yeah,
it still
has millions of players. It's
yeah.
just...
And it's doing
it's
crazy...
Not, it's not the top.
Yeah, it's doing crazy gonzo numbers in China, but, you know.
And also, I think PUBG Mobile, like...
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. My understanding.
Well, this isn't a question about not people not playing it. It's a question of people not talking about it. It not having, like, a pop culture impact.
I mean,
which
technically,
I don't know how much PUBG
because
did.
It spawned the whole
I mean, it
Battle
did,
Royale
because it
genre.
Spawned the genre. But I just think it's funny how will people remember? Will people bring up PUBG in 10 years?
I feel like they will to a degree.
I mean, they'll just bring up Fortnite first.
This is like that. That was the start.
I think they will to say, "Oh, it spawned the thing that Fortnite was."
Yeah, I mean, they'll talk about
like,
Fortnite
can we,
first.
Can we think of any other thing where it's like you bring up the one thing that led to the major thing that you would talk about more? Like, this was the start, but really, this is where it got started.
I'm trying to think.
If there are any other
I think examples. The Order 1886 sold, like, 2 million sales, and that's gone.
Did it sell 2 mil? That's depressing. Those poor people.
It sold... It was a Sony first-party exclusive selling on its visuals.
Yeah, but Jesus, that's not even a whole game. Like, oh, man.
4 hours long.
We were talking about Star Wars Battlefront earlier.
Kane and Lynch. You know what the most impact Kane and Lynch had? Indirectly causing Giant Bomb.
Yes, that's accurate.
Nobody's gonna fucking remember Kane and Lynch.
Sold.
I like when one of the developers of Kane and Lynch actually met Jeff and said, yeah, that game was kind of rough. He's like, yeah, could you tell my employers that?
Let's see, sold millions of copies, barely made an impact or influence on the consumer.
Yeah, he took like the best recent one, in my opinion, which was Horizon Zero Dawn.
I've never, like, every other Sony, I guess I haven't seen anybody fucking talk about Days Gone except us, but.
Yeah.
Horizon also sold a hell of a lot more than Days Gone.
Oh, Horizon did very well, but.
It sold like 12 million copies. It's insane.
Yeah, people just didn't talk about it. Also, there were a lot of... It came out, like, the same week as Zelda.
Right. Which is
so
rough.
There was that whole war of discussion behind that.
Mm.
Bioshock Infinite, kind of? Because, like, the last time I've seen anybody mention Bioshock Infinite, other than KZ saying it was good to upset me, was the guy who made Night in the Woods bringing it up at like an indie games dev panel being like, here's how you don't write a game.
Yeah, but Bioshock Infinite is 6 years old, so I feel like many games that are that old would fall into that category
I see people bring up Bioshock 1 and 2 a lot more than Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah.
BioShock Infinite kind of fell off a cliff because it was bad.
It dominated my fucking Twitter feed for a solid goddamned month at least. So that's why I'm
Yeah,
like,
I remember it being pretty...
That's why I wouldn't
Giant
say
Bomb
that.
Jeff Gerstmann gave it Game of the Year that year it came out, and I'm like, oh, Jeff, I don't know about this. I like it, man, but ooh.
They gave a Game of the Year to Shadow of Mordor, all right?
They gave Game of the Year to PUBG, and then it immediately got Thanos snapped.
Yeah, so I'm good to move on. KZ?
Yeah, I can't think of anything. Like, I Rise. Feel like when something...
Rise.
Rise, Rise, Son of Rome.
Rise, Son of Rome did not sell.
It's, okay, here's my bit. It's too easy if you pick an exclusive. And I can't think of anything anyway, so it's all fucked.
Okay, we're going to move on. Anonymous JM says, what is the most embarrassing thing you've done, or at least something embarrassing that you were willing to talk about? I'm going to start with what I think is the most embarrassing I'm going to go. So Metal Gear Solid 4 comes out. I buy it midnight launch, and then they let me know at the counter, hey, there's a strategy guide. I'm like, okay, I buy the strategy guide. I go home. I set aside time off from work to play Metal Gear Solid 4 like the whole way through. I get to the end of the second level in the South American war zone, and what plays out is approximately a 15 or 20 minute, I don't know, an extended cutscene with a lot of actions, but not a lot of talking. And by actions, I don't mean pew, pew, bang, bang. I mean, like, we cut to someone hiding behind a thing. They look over at a chopper. This person does a thing. And there's very little dialogue. There's no music at all. None. It is completely fucking dead silent on a music front. And I'm like, I don't know, 20 or something. I don't remember the year it came out. Anyways, that's not important. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Is my disc broken? Why is there no music? Because Kojima, in all of his prior Metal Gear games, there is music that goes to action. The scenes have soundtracks. There's mood dripping from every orifice. So Metal Gear Solid 4 is seemingly having a glitch where it is not playing the music for the scene because it's a really protracted scene and it's really weird and there's not enough going on here for me to believe everything's firing on every cylinder. I go to Walmart and buy a second copy. I put it in. It also does not play music because it installs from the disc in parts because of how that game is horribly structured. And yeah, even deleting the install file and reinstalling it still plays no music. And I go, what the fuck is with this game? And then for the rest of the game, I start noticing that more and more. There's just really long cutscenes with no music. In fact, what was it? A lot of the trailers they showed off, they cut completely different songs to them, which sounded way better in their place in the final game. The duel between Raiden and Vamp, I believe, used the Beauty and the Beast Brigade song, which was fucking crazy because the song that plays there is nowhere near as fitting or cool or very energetic. So yeah, I bought Metal Gear Solid 4 two times in the launch 2 days. That's as deep as I'm cutting.
Was it good?
I enjoyed my time with it despite its writing. I had fun.
Was it a little contrived when they kissed?
You know, I forgot that scene happened until you made it a months-long hellish meme. KZ, what's your answer to this question?
The part where they kiss.
What is the most embarrassing thing you've done, or at least are willing to talk about on this podcast?
I'm trying to think of, like, something generally embarrassing. Struggling to really think of anything in general. There's some stupid things I've done, but I probably shouldn't say those out loud. Because those are less embarrassing, more like ruh-roh. No, I'm not really coming up with. Oh, okay. There's one that's like similar to yours where I was like confused about something that was incredibly obvious.
Mm-hmm.
upon beating Super Mario RPG, they play the end, and then they start doing Mario music in it. And I had my parents call Nintendo support because all the buttons didn't do anything. They wouldn't get off the end screen. It was a couple of hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the Nintendo support person also not knowing what was going on. Like, we gotta get it. Yeah.
That poor person.
Which my friend Carl had the exact same thing where they called a GameStop. Because they're like, yo, I beat Kingdom Hearts 2. I'm on the results screen. I think my game's broken. It won't fade out.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. What?
Mr. Field, do you have anything?
I was the vice president of an anime club in high school.
Well, shit, man. I was fucking secretary. I wasn't going to bring that up.
Coward.
Waffle House.
No, because then I have to talk about how Agro and I had internal politics in the anime club, and we're not doing that.
Honestly, I think the most embarrassing thing that I've ever done is I was like 20. Me and my friends were at an IHOP at like 3 a.m. And we forced one of my best friend, Dan Reichert friend, who I call him because he does similarly insane things. Everybody kind of bullied him into getting the happy face breakfast. And then we bullied him into asking them to make it a frowny face. And just thinking about that and how the fucking middle-aged waitress who is there to feed her fucking kids because her fucking husband ran out on her or whatever, dealing with these stupid asshole weeaboo teenagers. I'm not teenagers because we were all like 19 or 20. So some of us were teenagers, I guess. But dealing with that like 3 a.m. is like, fucking, they didn't need that. And then Dan Reichert friend doesn't tip because he's a scumbag. Fucking, I tip three times as much because I feel bad. Oh. Dan Reichert friend, by the way, has been banned from establishments for not tipping, which I think is really embarrassing beyond anything that's ever happened to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Where it's like there's a barbecue place in town he would go to where they had dollar barbecue sandwiches, and obviously the intent is you get like a sandwich and fries and maybe drink some beers and then leave. He would get one sandwich and water and have a dollar bill and not tip.
What?
And then eventually they came out and were like, we're not serving you anymore.
Okay.
Like, good. You're good. You learned.
Your friend's story, or your story of your friend, reminded me of something. When I was really young, there was a coffee place in the mall. You know, just standard, like, Starbucks-esque sort of place. So they have coffee. They have, like, Frappuccino things. But on the counter, they have, like, these wrapped individual chocolate balls. Kind of like, what is it? What's the name of the Lindt? I think Lindt does that.
Ferrero Rocher?
Yeah, I mean, it's like that, but it's more like the, you know, sort of like milk chocolate or dark chocolate sort of thing you can get. I think Lindt makes them, but I can't remember the other company that makes it. Anyways, I thought they were fucking samples. I took two. I just fucking took them and ate them. And the next time at the fucking mall, months later, I noticed the price and sign, which was not in front of them, and freaked the fuck out. I was like, oh my god, I just stole. Well, I stole 2 months ago. I'm a monster. The shame here is dependent on me being an ethical person.
There was one time I took a bite of like a free sample thing at a supermarket. And for some reason, I was tired enough to say, oh, this is nice. Is this like Mandarin? And they went, it's Mexican. I said, that's great.
That's great, buddy.
I'm leaving now.
Okay. So, I guess we'll move on.
It's okay. I was 12.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about the age I was in the other thing. So, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. The Mario RPG thing, I was like 9, so... It was a serious situation, okay? We thought it was broken. It kept playing Mario music.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's really confusing stuff. Let's see. We got a question from Chocobo Lover 69. What a fucking name. Hey guys, just curious. With the Crystal Chronicles remaster having cross saves in addition to cross play so that you can pick it up on the PS4 where you left off on your Switch, Do you see this becoming a feature that the next big selling point for games the same way crossplay is now? Do you see this becoming a feature that is the next big selling point for games the way crossplay is now? Thank you for reading this and for keeping me sane at work.
I think so for any like online oriented game and like service and live service games.
Mm-hmm.
For live service games, yeah, but they're not going to do that for any single player shit. Like they might just to do it, but it's not going to be a selling point for those.
I think it's really unfortunate that we don't have a stronger presence of this because I think Sony had more to gain this gen from being crossplay than they had to lose. I know many people who started on PS4, got tired of none of their friends having PS4, and then traded in their PS4 and bought an Xbox. Like, Sony is the most against it, and they had the most to gain, and they don't even realize. And that person was into Destiny, so Destiny doing crossplay would be a huge selling point.
Yeah, I hear people had to play on PS4 and were trapped, I just assume it was Destiny for the exclusive content.
Yes.
I feel like that has to be something that they're going to be fixing in the next gen.
I hope so.
But it's arrogant Sony, so who fucking knows? They could make it worse.
It's true.
I'm optimistic about things.
Oh, that's good.
Like I said, I trust Mark Cerny. I don't trust Sony.
Yeah, technically Mark Cerny doesn't work at Sony, so that's funny. He's a private contractor, guys. But yeah, I think to make online communities more sustainable and successful, it is incredibly important for crossplay to become the standard. And I think it's a huge feature once it gets into things. So hopefully it becomes more of a standard on those consoles. Next question from Boros. I listen to you guys talk about all kinds of games quite often, but it seems you rarely care for shooters, so what are your favorite third-person or first-person shooter games, and what do you look for in a shooter personally? Hard mode, you can't say Resident Evil 4, Phil.
I wouldn't have said that.
Well, that's the only shooter he's played.
That's not true. I play many shooters.
Go ahead.
Okay, I don't really like cover-based shooters. I think that's a boring gameplay mechanic, and I think it's very rarely done in a way that makes it exciting. I think way too much it degrades into hide behind the wall until they stand up. And yeah. Shoot them.
Yeah, that was a real problem 10 years ago.
It carried over into this gen too, let's be real.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I saw an Uncharted 4 demo.
I mean, I played Uncharted 4. I thought it was fine, and I think it's because it moved more away from that than 2 and 3.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And let you do stuff like swing around and punch guys, and it was a lot better.
Yeah, no, 4 is vastly better, but
Doom 2016 is fucking incredible.
Yes, it is.
It's my favorite shooter of all time, probably. Hmm. The first Wolfenstein, the New Order was okay, great.
I was like, Phil, you are not about to come out here and stand for Wolfenstein, not even 3D.
No, Wolfenstein, the New Order, the first one they did this gen. Also, the Old Blood, the standalone expansion. I didn't like, I thought the New Colossus sucked real bad.
Yeah.
But the first one was good.
I heard Youngblood's quite Kino.
Yeah, it has leveling, and you can be under-leveled and not do any damage to your enemies like Borderlands.
Oh, I just heard the writing, and it sounds abysmal.
Great.
I really liked Binary Domain.
Yeah.
Because I didn't play it. I played it on PC, so it didn't have any running problems.
Mm-hmm.
Does Prey count? I feel like it doesn't, because shooting isn't, like, the core focus of that game.
I mean, it is a shooter, but that's not the core focus. But you know what? I'll count it. Maybe not in the case of
Prey and The Evil Within 2 I liked a lot, which is a third-person shooter, I guess. It has third-person bosses.
Yeah, it is third-person.
You actually have to fight, so... Yeah. But in that metric, I liked RE2 Make and Resident Evil 7 a lot.
Yeah, those were solid. Those were solid.
My feelings towards Vanquish are complicated, because I feel like its gameplay is incredible, and then everything surrounding that sucks.
Like what?
Where it has, like, the most boring aesthetic and plot possible.
I think the aesthetic's fine, but the plot...
If you made Astral Chain 2 that was actually just Vanquish 2, I'd nut.
Yeah, no, that'd be nice. But I don't know. I like everything about Vanquish. It's clearly just a dumb action movie about, like, action movie tier politics of, oh no, the Russians are trying to microwave the United States of America and they nuked a city from space. Let's go up there and be cool space marines and blow them up. Oh no, they have cool cyber suits. Let's battle. Pew, 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 pew. Like, I thought that was enjoyable.
I'm interested in trying one of, like, the better Call of Duties at some point, because I feel like I would like it, because Call of Duty is not cover-based, and it's always... Like, they shoot for 60 FPS every time.
Yes.
Which makes me think they actually care about delivering a game that is fun to play and feels good.
Yeah. They are the original guys to give a shit about input lag, as it turns out, last gen. They were pioneers.
Like, it's not even that... It's not that I dislike shooters. I just... I can't get behind... I don't have the thing in my brain that's like, play this game forever. Okay, I played it for 4 hours. What now? You keep playing it. Okay, what now? Keep going. It's like, it's just, I don't have that thing in my brain, and I don't know why, where I can't sit down and be like, I'm going to play Call of Duty matchmaking for 2 hours.
Right. I mean, for me, when the Call of Duties were the best was Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, because it had a great Spec Ops mode where you do scripted missions that are two-player, and you could actually online co-op it. So you would be running through an area and one guy could spot you from a chopper while you try to make it through the trenches and make it out of an area without getting sniped. And he's also trying to prevent people from rushing you. Like, that was... Spec Ops mode is a really great mode. I'm actually very excited for this year's Call of Duty. First time I've been excited in a very long time, because one... They're clearly redoing the engine and art production process from the ground up, and it looks incredible. Two, I think Modern Warfare 1 and Modern Warfare 2 were the last incredibly good ones, though I have enjoyed some of them as of late. I haven't enjoyed them a lot. Keep in mind, me and Bob, we don't really like the zombies modes in these games, so that's why we don't really attach to that sort of thing. But moving on from Call of Duty, Vanquish is one of my favorite games. I love a lot of stuff about Vanquish. I love the incredibly dumb weapon leveling system and how you can make your shotgun insanely broken. I love a lot about that game. There's just so many different things built into it gameplay wise that are so dumb, of like, you can do a rocket slide up to a dude and hit the melee button to do a rocket powered flip kick off their face that does shitload of damage.
And then time slows down so you can shoot them while you're falling.
Yeah, once you start like having a seizure from being on low damage, you also get slow-mo. It's really good. There's a lot of great things about that game, and I think more people should play it.
Don't take cover, motherfucker. We decrease your score for every second you're in cover.
Yeah, it's great.
Play that on PC and nothing else.
I would, yeah, no, the PC version's really great. I'm glad they ported that. Jesus Christ.
Oh, did they put that on PS4 and Xbox One?
I don't think they did.
It was one of those where we're putting it on current PC.
Yep.
Well, that is future-proofed.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say the Uncharted series, I really enjoyed. I enjoyed Gears 2's Horde mode, but I haven't played a campaign in a single Gears game, so I can't speak to that, but I enjoy the core mechanics of how Gears feels and plays. I don't know if that I would enjoy competitive online for that, but I do enjoy co-op Horde. Lots of good LAN parties came out of that. Well, actually, I think it was only a couple, but we do like Halo, just not the latest stuff, which is a real bummer in my opinion. Which is what
it's
made
also
it...
It's also getting more and more unfortunate as the new stuff is eventually going to expand to a decade plus.
Yes, and it's getting even worse when Destiny gets even less Halo-like. With, like, if you recall at launch, Destiny 2's competitive multiplayer, the Crucible, was 4v4.
Yes.
That completely murdered the last, like, tiny essence of Halo left in that game. Because it took this... Here's a big battlefield. You can do 12v12 or whatever you could do in, you know, Halo 3 or Halo Reach. And then it reduced it all the way down to there are 8 people. It's 4v4. It's very squad based. And I'm like, that's
okay. They rolled it back.
Yeah, I heard they did. I heard they did. And I'm excited to check
that out.
Where
they're like, okay, we know you want 6. We know you want the 6 on 6. Because that was the most fun. Because then, you know, it led to more arcadey stuff.
So, yeah. And also... Gave a big scope to the battles. Like, it had a big feeling, you know? And that's what I liked about Destiny 1's Crucible. I actually loved the hell out of Destiny, Crucible especially. My major problems with the original Destiny was the plot.
Just the feeling of just going in, some people are busting out their different super types, and
yeah.
There's a really good feeling of just barely getting a couple of kills and like making a slide around a corner and hoping the tick rate in this is good enough for that to count. So you're not sliding around a corner going, I'm safe, I just dropped dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because that shit's way too low.
Yeah, and the
also,
ability
it's a good feeling of throwing like a trip mine onto someone's leg, it sticks and kills them immediately.
Oh yeah, no. Like what I was
also I really like Splatoon, obviously.
I wish Splatoon's online worked better. I hate the tick rate. It feels so awful.
Yeah, it's noticeable.
Yeah, it's like 12 hertz, if not lower, or 8. It's fucking insanely bad. But I really like Splatoon 2, especially. For Destiny, something I really enjoy about it is that you get to customize your character, so you get to engage with the multiplayer in really interesting ways. So, like, your double jump can have massive ramifications on how you play through an environment. You know, you can do a blink teleport to make it harder for people to get a bead on you while you're flying, or you can use the glide to make it easier to cross giant gaps. Aside from that, going even older school, Halo 3 was the best one. Time Splitters 2 is great. I wish that series didn't eat shit and die. We have a soft spot in the extended Gigaboots universe for Warhawk, because that was a really fun multiplayer game with a huge scale, and playing effectively didn't require being good at shooting. And that's something we also like about, some of us anyways, like about Battlefield back around that time, like Battlefield 3 and Battlefield 4. You could be a medic and be super helpful, you know? You could contribute to the battle by being a guy who just drives a vehicle, you know? Like, that's what I like in shooter games. I like a sense of scale. I like being able to contribute to the battle without shooting well. And that's not because I'm like, oh, I'm bad at shooting. No, I was really good at Destiny 1.
Do you like Mag?
No, that game runs like shit, looks like shit, isn't fun at all. That was a fucking mistake of a game. We did a joke video making fun of Mag back in the day, back on the old YouTube channel, which was a sketch comedy YouTube channel, where we were like, obviously to make our videos funnier, we need to get more writers in. So here we go. We're going to do 10 fucking people on screen coming up with jokes at all times. And it is exactly as miserable a video as Mag is a game.
Oh, no.
But I can't think of any other major shooters that are popping to mind right now. I hope I can beat Doom in time for Doom Eternal. I still haven't beaten Doom. I have no time. Wait. Field doesn't get to say it, but I can. Resident Evil 4 is pretty good.
Damn it, you stole what my bit was going to be when you threw it to me.
Sorry, KZ.
I thought you haven't played it.
Oh, no, I played it. I just didn't beat it. I didn't play that. Like, I didn't play a ton of it. I played probably 5 hours. Playing on the Wii is really great because you can line up headshots, like, super easily.
Oh, fuck that.
No, that's that is delightful. It's like
that it is. The fucking, God damn it.
Oh, whatever, boomer.
You don't understand. That game was fine-tuned for the GameCube controller.
It was fine-tuned to
the chainsaw controller.
To not make you instantly be able to headshot 14 people in a row.
It's really good.
Hey, I didn't say it was the most balanced way to play it. I said it was fun. That's all the shooters that are popping in mind right now. I want to go back and do some co-op. This sounds insane. This is the only podcast you're ever going to hear a sentence like this, but... I'm hoping sometime to go back and do a co-op horde mode on Starhawk. Because Starhawk's a really fun game. It's really unfortunate that it wasn't... I feel like Sony abandoned every first-party game at the end of that gen. Like they published it and just didn't give a shit. They didn't even go through the motions.
It's going to be real sad when Ghost of Tsushima is just sent out to die.
Oh, God, no. I think that's getting pushed to next gen. I don't know. They're not going to push that out to die. It's too cool.
You're right. It is too cool.
Also, it's kind of a shooter. but it's a very unique one, Twisted Metal. I enjoy the Twisted Metal games, specifically 2 Black Heads-On and the reboot on the PS3. I think those are all great.
But I've never played a Twisted Metal game.
They're fun.
Twisted Metal walked so Vigilante 8 could run.
Fuck off.
Into off, the, off a cliff?
Yes.
Like, into a grave?
Yeah, fuck off, guys.
Out of the industry? Like, where did Vigilante 8 fucking run?
I don't know. I've never played Twisted Metal before.
Wait, you've never... But you have played Vigilante 8?
Yes.
Wow.
A friend owned it, so I played... Wait, no, I played some of a PSP Twisted Metal game.
It's like hearing someone grew up in the same house as you, but there was no furniture or wallpaper or paint or anything. They just grew up in a stale, weird, bizarro version of the house you grew up in.
You know what the last game the developers of Vigilante 8 ever made was?
I don't want to hear this. It's going to be sad.
Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
Oh.
That's not the good High Moon Transformers games. That's just a movie game.
Yep. Yep. Oh, man.
Before that, it was Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, God. KZ, do you have shooters you want to talk about?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
They made True Crime Streets of L.A.?
True Crime Streets of L.A. is raw.
I've heard that.
Isn't that where Jack Slate's from?
No. Jack Slate is dead to rights.
Dead to rights.
True Crime Streets of L.A. is Nick Kang.
Is he the one that has a dog?
No, that's Jack Slate. Jack Slate has the dog that eats people's testicles.
Wait.
Is Streets of LA the one where you start fighting, like, Oni ghosts and shit?
Dan, have you played True Crime Streets of LA?
No.
That has to be a streamer let's play that I bring you on, because it is PS2 gen story crime drama of the highest order. It wants to be everything, but it fails at everything and is hilarious. And also, Christopher Walken narrates it.
Oh, that's something.
True Crime is what Sleeping Dogs was originally going to be part of.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they did, like, they were going to do a True Crime China one. And then that never materialized, I think. And that's...
Man, Sleeping Dogs is fucking raw. I should play it again.
But, True Crime Streets of LA is hilarious. It's mostly the Christopher Walken thing, where it's like, how did you get him for 2 games? Because they did a sequel that was just, New York, but disconnected. Shooters that I liked, though.
Remember when Bethesda kept getting cool people to narrate the game, be one minor character who dies?
Yes.
Rage is great.
Oh, I'm talking about Oblivion and then Fallout 3, which both have that also.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I knew you were talking about that, but a lot of people don't remember that John Goodman was in the intro only of Rage.
I don't remember Rage at all.
Oh, yeah, I should have brought up Rage.
You were going to say, I don't know who John Goodman is.
Of course I know who John Goodman is. I said, Googling it to make sure I knew who John Goodman is.
Of course I know who John Goodman is. I've seen Speed Racer.
Oh, yeah, I know who John Goodman is. I fucking grew up middle class in the 80s and 90s. I fucking saw Roseanne.
I was about to say, it's like, he's just going to mention Roseanne.
Yeah.
I saw him on the Flintstones movie, Yabba Dabba 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, just think about it. If only Square paid enough and John Goodman got to talk to Vanitas, we were so close, because he was Sully in Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
Billy Crystal talking about Heartless. Some of the shooters that I like, Resident Evil 4, I think is enjoyable. I enjoyed it a good bit. The Uncharted games, I really enjoyed. Though every Uncharted game, I've had my fill 75% of the way through them. Every time it happens, where I'm like, fuck it, let's just push through here. I think 2 might have been the worst one for that, because I just hit a part where I just was eating shit so hard.
Wow. You know, I'm not sure if you ever played Uncharted 1, have you?
Oh yeah, I did!
Okay,
that sure is a fun game.
Yeah, Uncharted 1 has the infinite spawning enemies problem, where if you don't cross a line in the environment, it'll just keep spawning people to fight you. That's when I stopped playing that game.
Also, that game's pacing is completely fucked in the beginning, where it's like, establishing a little gameplay thing on a boat, and then you're doing some adventuring and a mix of that, and then you get past, I guess, the part where they're like, all right, the game really starts now. You've got to go and pursue these guys, get the treasure, and there's like seven shooting sequences in a row. And I'm like, I sure wish we could get back to the other aspect of your game. Please.
Yeah, they
also
were...
Also, that final boss is really bad.
I haven't fought him, but I'm pretty sure I know what it is.
It's just a it's a sequence in which you're chasing after person with gun, but they also have people around them. And there are so many ways you could do it to get to them to do a thing, but they're like, no, you have to do it a specific way, mm-hmm. and then an automatic cutscene will happen to continue the sequence. And it's...
Is this the end of Uncharted 1?
Yeah, Uncharted 1. Yes. Yeah.
God, I fucking hate the end of Uncharted. I hate Uncharted 1 in general. It's so fucking bad.
Yeah, Uncharted 1 is incredibly rough. But 2, like, 2, 3, and 4, I think, ended in a way that didn't insult me in the way that the first one did. But I enjoy them. I like Bioshock 1 and 2 a lot. I did not play enough of Infinite to really get a good read on it. But I do like shooters that have more of a fantasy element to them. So I like the powers and stuff like that. I also kind of like the feedback that the Bioshock games have to when you're shooting certain things, like where you really feel it when you use like the shotgun or stuff like that. Destiny, really big fan of both Destinies.
Mm-hmm.
Thoroughly enjoyed them because I got into Destiny 1 when the Taken King pack came out, so I just paid $60 and got in then and went, I don't get the bit here. This is great.
Yeah,
like, this is a wonderful. It was very delightful.
It was vastly improved well past launch. You are correct, sir.
Mm-hmm. I got in right at that point, and I played Destiny 2 at launch, and I had some disappointments in how they ruined PvP for a decent amount of time. But yeah, I like having something to chase. I like making my number bigger. So when mm-hmm. it comes to Destiny, I keep going until it starts resisting that and saying, all right, you're going to have to really put in some work here, or you need to get a group of people into a party together and do the night, whatever they call the nightfall versions of missions, which are like the 45-minute missions that are multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started hitting those, I was like, okay, I can't match make queue with these very easily, so I kind of... That's the point I drop off until they raise the limit again.
I actually was, like, completely did all the content in Destiny 1. Did the raids.
That's like 10 hours.
Did everything. Yeah, it's like 10 hours, except for a lot more because of how the loop worked at launch. Getting high-tier equipment was a fucking pain in the ass at launch.
You also have that cave.
Yes, I love Shoot Cave.
Yep.
Shoot Cave is great. It's an important part of the Destiny 1 Let's Play.
The raids in Destiny are really fun.
A unique
friend experience I can't say I've gotten from any other game is just us figuring some shit out and going, all right, let's see if we can do this right. Nobody fuck this up. You two are going to go in a portal and shoot something. These people need to not die.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fun stuff. I think it was like one of the Taken King, like the raids and that.
Yeah, where you're doing...
Just dying over and over again trying to platform.
Yeah, you're doing like some crazy intense platforming while holding an orb and you need to slam it into this receptacle to make the boss... Hurtable.
Yeah, you need to slam dunk one of the bitches, but that only happens because someone's standing on a platform over there that spawned platforms that will appear, and it is a hilarious set of things you have to do that I thought was really fun, especially when it fell apart.
Yeah, it could be hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, mind-numbing, I guess. Doom 2016 was incredible.
Yes,
like,
it was.
I picked that up on positive buzz in the first couple days where people went, yo, they aren't putting out reviews for it. And then people went, this is actually really good. So I just went out and bought it. And that's one of my most anticipated games for the rest of the year. Because I looked at the gameplay and went, yeah, it's just more Doomed.
How the fuck did we get through a shooter segment and I didn't bring up Overwatch?
Oh, I was about to.
Well, I assumed you were happy.
But Doom, fantastic. That's the one series where I'm like, just keep making more of that.
Please.
Because it has the things I want. Some fantasy bullshit, cool guns, and make it as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Just that adrenaline needs to keep going. But Overwatch is one of my favorites, and I don't play it because none of my friends play it now, and because I don't have time. But the very moment Dan sends me a text at 4 a.m. saying, hey, what's up, man? I'm playing Overwatch. I'm like, I guess. I'm like all those YouTube reviewers that are putting on their movie hat, and I'm like, here we go.
Oh, God.
Here we go. It's time for me to return and maybe try and remember how to use Reinhardt again.
Don't you want to play as... I can't even do this bit. I don't know any of the new characters' names. But Beast... No, it's not that. That's fucking stupid.
Baptiste.
What?
I almost said Babiste.
I was about to... Come on, dude. At that point, you're just like, oh, come on, Casey. Don't you want to play as the Babadook?
Don't you want to play as a Batista? I hear he's real good. He does the Batista bomb. It's a super.
It's very cool. Very cool.
His ult is getting James Gunn rehired.
Yeah, I can't say that I don't like Overwatch. I played it for over 349 hours.
Ugh.
Over 349? That's...
I had to stop so the channel could continue.
That's almost one-tenth as much as I played World of Warcraft.
I probably played, like, 500 to 600 hours.
Yeah, I never got into WoW because I generally avoid things that I can get addicted to, and my brother put over a year of actual in-game time into WoW.
We should play Overwatch at some point. Get squad going. I remember when I first started following your content, I was like, oh shit, he plays Overwatch too, that's neat. Because you just put up clips about how people like your voice.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, which was fun. That last mic was a lot better for that, by the way. This mic, it's hard to get as grumpy in it.
But, generally I just look for shooters that have a really good flow to it, that where it just keeps escalating. And Doom's the only one that really hits that for me at the moment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I would love them so to good. Start making more shooters with a focus on the story campaign. Because we're getting less and less of that now.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking nuts that last year's Call of Duty doesn't even have a single-player campaign.
That was a whole can of worms, and that team's also having even more problems when they make next year's title.
Yeah, yeah, God.
Now that all that other stuff's popping up.
Yeah. But I guess with Doom Eternal coming out and the new COD remake thing.
God, I'm so pumped.
This is a good year for shooters at
the end. Doom Eternal is going to be so fucking raw.
It is.
They could say, we shitted and farted and make 12 new levels. And I'm like, all right. All right, man.
I knew I loved that game, and I've shown the intro to people countless times. I'm like, this is how you start a fucking video game. This is the fucking way to start a video game. This is such good writing. Every fucking part of the first 40 goddamn minutes of this game is perfect. And then
for this to happen. And then he looks at the fucking screen, the perfectness of just the intro cut music ending with a synced up shotgun reload.
Yeah. So good. Yeah, no, it is unreal.
Fucking art.
And then I watched the behind the scenes, the guy who writes it, you know, the creative director on the game, he sat there and he was like, so RoboCop's basically the perfect film. And I'm like, oh my God.
That's true. You can't fucking deny that. RoboCop is a perfect film.
This guy fucking gets it.
Whenever they roll out those two main guys who are also all over the No Clip documentary, I love both of them, especially the dude who can't not smile at all times. I forget his name.
Right? Oh, man. Yeah, no, that intro to Doom's so good. I've literally shown it to at least six people. I was like, this is perfect. Do you get that? Do you get that nothing has ever been this perfect?
I need to go play Doom again.
Yeah, I need to get that shit done.
I want to play it again before it comes out, but it's 847 gigs because I can't detach it from the bad multiplayer nobody wants.
Because the multiplayer and the snap map have to be downloaded as well.
On PC, the multiplayer is a different client.
It's all quite tragic, I know, but I go back to it every now and then to the arcade mode where they're like, we stripped out the story here, and you just go really fast to get a score multiplier.
Oh, yeah, no, the arcade mode's great. Call of Duty actually had that either for Modern Warfare 1 or 2, and it was also really great. Huh. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for questions this time. Thank you, everyone who wrote in.
You're welcome.
Hey, goodbye.
Wait, KZ, did you forge a signature on one of these? KZ, you're going to go to prison.
Yeah, I just picked one of the ones where I didn't have an answer.
KZ's anonymous CBT.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Big Think Dimension. This show, like our other podcasts, is only possible with the generous time our co-hosts have given to us and the equipment we've bought to make it higher quality and easier to produce. Please consider supporting our podcast series on our Gigaboots Podcast Patreon and look forward to more Gamer Premonitions and Big Think Dimension in the future.